Let's take our Bibles and go to Mark chapter 11. In our two previous sessions, we saw two distinct entries of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. During this period of time, towards the end of his life, before his passion, his sufferings, and crucifixion, Jesus Christ was staying in Bethany. But each day he would go into Jerusalem, and the first entry into Jerusalem was an entry of a judge, as signified by him riding on one animal. And in that, the events of that day, he pronounced judgment against Jerusalem, against the buildings and the temple. And then the second day, was an entry on two animals, represented blessing, and it was being the 10th of Nisan. The great event of that day was him being selected by God as the Passover lamb for all time. Now, as we talked about earlier in this class, oftentimes tradition, or call it religion, Christian religion, sort of gets the Bible wrong. And they'll take different truths and sort of change them a little bit and wrap them up into a little bit of man's thinking, and then come up with stuff that really is inaccurate. You'll have, you know, two crucified with Jesus instead of what the Bible teaches that there were four. You'll have Jesus sacrificed on Good Friday and raised Easter Sunday morning, where the Bible teaches that he was in the heart of the grave for 3 days and three nights, that he died on Wednesday and got up Saturday. Similar with these entries, religion sort of rolls them into one entry into Jerusalem, and they say that it occurred on Palm Sunday. That's what it's called. And as you look on the church calendar, the Sunday before Easter is called Palm Sunday. Well, the first entry of Jesus Christ was on Friday. The second entry, which we handled in our previous session, was on Saturday, the 10th of Nisan. Now we do get to Sunday, what is called Palm Sunday, but it's not about his, you know, entries. That's not the focus of this particular day. But this day begins, again, with him going to Jerusalem. And in verse 20 of Mark 11, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Now remember, on the previous day, on Saturday, on the 10th of Nisan, Jesus Christ had come from Bethany, in verse 12, and he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree far off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. We handled this in our previous session. This is the cursing of the fig tree. This is what's brought to Peter's remembrance the next day as they're leaving Bethany. And they come across this fig tree again. And the fig tree is dried up from the roots. And Peter says, "Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." So the next day, overnight, this fig tree has withered away. Now, Jesus Christ uses this example of the fig tree to teach in verse 22. "Jesus answered, saith unto them, Have faith," or "have believing in God." A very simple, wonderful translation of these words is, believe God. Believe what God says. Believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall, what, have them. Now, this cursing of the fig tree was not something that Jesus Christ did by his senses. That's for sure. Neither is the casting of a mountain into the sea something that you can do in your normal daily prayer life. What is required to cast a mountain into the sea? Well, it takes revelation. And so what Jesus Christ is teaching here, he's teaching them the law of believing, yes, but specifically as it applies to believing revelation given to a specific situation. That's the manifestation of believing. There is the wider application of this section of Scripture to believing God and believing what his word says, but his word is applicable to all situations, isn't it? You can take God's word and apply it, you know, anywhere and everywhere, and when you believe it, God brings his word to pass. But it takes revelation for specific miracles like the cursing of the fig tree and like the casting of a mountain into the sea. So what is Jesus Christ doing? He's teaching his disciples to believe. Believe what God says. Believe what God's word says, and believe the revelation when God gives you revelation. Look at Matthew chapter 21. It's very interesting as we work through these records that Jesus Christ's life is characterized, when you really work the Gospels, it's characterized by teaching. Jesus Christ performed signs, miracles, and wonders with such a frequency that it's awe-inspiring. What we'll see in this session, and we've seen already, and we'll see it increasingly, is just how power-packed Jesus Christ's life was. Let's remember that his ministry to Israel was a ministry of 1 year. And what's written in the Gospels, it's just some of it. In fact, the Gospel of John says if it was all written that the world couldn't contain all the books. There was so much. So Jesus Christ's life was just filled moment by moment, even second by second, with incredible occurrences. You know, our lives certainly aren't at that same pace, praise God. But we can do the works that Jesus Christ once did. We do have Christ within us. We have seen, many of us, the things that Jesus Christ saw, but the incredible frequency and the incredible repetitiveness and consistency of Jesus Christ walking by the Spirit and seeing the power of God in his life is just absolutely awe-inspiring. And here's an example of it. In Matthew chapter 21 is a similar record to what we just read in Mark 11. But it's not identical. But this similar record also occurred on the 11th of Nisan. Look at Matthew chapter 21 in verse 18. It says, now in the morning, well, let's start in verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. This would have been concluding the 10th of Nisan. Now in the morning, verse 18, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said to it, hey, this is pretty much like the record in Mark 11, right? So far, you think, oh, gosh, this is talking about the same thing. He comes to a fig tree, he doesn't find any leaves, and he's talking to the tree. He said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, the word presently in the King James Version is Old English for immediately. And immediately the fig tree withered away. Let me ask you a question. Is this the same record as what we just read in Mark 11? No. Mark 11, he had cursed the fig tree the previous day. Now he, and then the next day they saw the fig tree withered away, and Peter calls it to remembrance and said, Master, the fig tree that thou cursest withered away. Then Jesus Christ uses it as an example to teach them about believing. But here, he curses the fig tree, and when does it wither away? Immediately, not overnight. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? This happened on the same day, Nisan 11, where they had encountered the fig tree that had withered away, having been cursed the previous day. In other words, twice in the same day, his disciples are seeing this, seeing the power of God, getting this lesson from Jesus Christ. And again, verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have believing and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall what? Receive. Man, oh man, you talk about the power of God being manifested with great consistency and frequency. How about that one? Think of how it must have impacted the minds, how it must have blown the minds of his disciples that were with him, that saw these two fig trees withered on the same day. The first one having been cursed the previous day, and now this one withering immediately. Well, then in verse 23, it says, and when he was come into the temple. So they've been traveling from Bethany. They're now into Jerusalem. He comes into the temple. The chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was what? Teaching. As he was teaching. And said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Now, what follows here in from Matthew 21, starting in verse 23, all the way through Matthew 23, verse 39, is Jesus Christ teaching in the temple. This is also what is recorded in Mark 11, verses 28 through chapter 12, verse 44, and also in Luke 20, verse 1, all the way through Luke 21, verse 4. So in those three Gospels, in Matthew, from Matthew 21 here in verse 23, for over two chapters, all the way to 23, verse 39, and then Mark 11, verse 28, all the way through Mark 12, verse 44, and then in Luke 24, verse 1, all the way through or Luke 20, verse 1, all the way through Luke 21, verse 4, what was Jesus Christ doing? He was teaching. You know, this is oftentimes what is overlooked about the life of Jesus Christ. You know, you can read in the Gospels and you see the incredible signs, miracles, and wonders that he did. But you know what he did most consistently was he taught. He taught God's word. On this Sunday, the 11th of Nisan, Jesus Christ spent a great deal of time teaching. And if you take the time to read these couple of chapters in Matthew and these chapter and a half in Mark and the chapter and then some in Luke, you'll see how varied his teachings were. He was teaching in parables, and he was teaching about the end times, and there's just tremendous truth and accuracy that Jesus Christ was imparting. But we're going to pick up the record of the 11th of Nisan on Mark 13. Again, it can be very valuable for you to fill in the gaps and see the incredible teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. Hey, if signs, miracles, and wonders are going to happen, the Bible teaches they follow the believing of God's word. And if you're going to get God's word, somebody's got to teach it. So you teach God's word, and then people get to mix it with believing, and then stuff starts happening that's of God, that's a blessing. Well, that was the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He was a teacher. He taught God's word. And he taught as one that had authority, not as the scribes. But in Mark chapter 13, continuing of the events of the 11th of Nisan, it says in verse 1, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. You know, one of his disciples said to Jesus, man, look at the temple. Look at these other buildings. Look at this incredible edifice, this building. And Jesus answering and said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus Christ has spoken this prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem. And really what the destruction of Jerusalem refers to is it refers to the destruction of Jewish Jerusalem. That there not, shall not be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As we've handled in a previous session, this occurred in 70 AD under the Roman general Titus. They came in and they leveled all, without exception, Jewish buildings in Jerusalem. And they took the stones and transported them out and used them to reconstruct other buildings outside of Jerusalem. But there wasn't left one stone upon another. This is how accurate the revelation that was given to Jesus Christ from his Father's foreknowledge. Look at Luke chapter 21. Keep your finger in Mark 13. We're coming back. But in Luke chapter 21... going to look at verse 5. It says, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Again, a complimentary record talking about the same occurrence as Jesus Christ had left the temple on the 11th of Nisan. And then back to Mark 13, it says in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives. So Jesus Christ has left Jerusalem. He's gone a short way, the Mount of Olives, over against the temple. It says Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus Christ, goes on to answer that. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. So, Jesus Christ has now gone to the Mount of Olives. Matthew chapter 26, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings. So again, on the Mount of Olives, what's he doing? He's continuing to teach. He said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. in the King James, the words "is the feast" are in italics. You see that? Or many of you, or excuse me, "the feast of," not the word "is," but the words "the feast of" are in italics. They are added by the translators. We could accurately read it, verse 2, "Ye know that after 2 days is the Passover." What day are we talking about? He is sitting on the Mount of Olives with his disciples on Sunday, the 11th of Nisan. What's he saying? Is that after 2 days is the Passover? Well, those 2 days would be Monday and Tuesday. So after Monday and Tuesday comes the Passover, and that occurs on what day? Wednesday. This word Passover here isn't talking about the feast of the Passover that would begin on sundown, beginning the 15th of Nisan. What this is saying is after 2 days is the Passover, the slaying of the Passover lamb, which occurred on Wednesday afternoon, as we've seen so vividly, so accurately. So you know that after 2 days, after Monday and Tuesday, will come the slaying of the Passover lamb on Wednesday afternoon between the evenings. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be, what? Crucified. Then what it says in verse 3 of Matthew 26, it says, "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the," what, "people." Well, when's the feast day? The feast day begins at sundown, concluding Wednesday afternoon, beginning the 15th of Nisan. So here they are, Sunday, the 11th of Nisan, plotting, conspiring to take Jesus. And they're saying, hey, we got to do this before the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts on the 15th of Nisan. Isn't that something? Look at Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, well, I'll tell you, we could have read this earlier, but in Mark 13, you'll remember that there was this prophecy given of the destruction of the temple in verses 1 and 2, which we've read earlier. And then in verse 3 it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privily, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled." So Jesus Christ answers their question, as we saw. And then he prophesies, that's given information that after 2 days he's going to be crucified, that's going to occur on Wednesday. And then we read that after that, or during that period of time, that the religious leaders get together to conspire to put him to death, and they realize that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming up, and they don't want to do it during the feast day, so they're trying to hasten the conspiracy against Jesus. So now in Mark chapter 14, it says in verse 1, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread." You see how accurately these different gospel records fit together? You know, after 2 days, what days? Monday and Tuesday. Then comes the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. "And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of," who? "The people." So the events of the 11th of Nisan conclude with the religious leaders conspiring to put Jesus Christ to death. You can see that the events of their conspiracy are accelerating because they want to get their dastardly deed done, the most horrific deed that they could possibly be inspired to do, be possessed to do. But they want to get this deed done of the murder of Jesus Christ before the feast starts. So we'll pick up the record in our next session concerning the 12th of Nisan.